This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. A decade or so ago, WMRA listeners loved listening to Andy Arendt announce classical music, and she still occasionally will be on the air as a substitute host. But you can hear Andy Arendt's voice right now by going into any AT&T store, picking up a smartphone, and pressing more information. How come? Because Harrisonburg's Andy Arendt, working out of her in-home studio, has created a booming international career for herself with her voice.
Yeah, I have clients in Cologne, Germany. I have an agent that represents me for Western Europe, right? I did some stuff for Disney Travel Company where I connected remotely with a studio in Hollywood to record for some web content for Disney. I record remotely with a studio in Atlanta. I have a studio in my house, and I have a microphone in a quiet corner. And from that microphone, through the internet, sometimes live, usually recorded for later, I record MP3s or whatever kind of sound files that I send to clients who need narration for things like Salesforce training. I get a script. I say it out loud. I record it. I send it to somebody who needs it. And this is the business part. Then they pay me.
How'd you get out there?
This is the interesting thing about voiceover work. It's not a work your way up kind of thing where, you know, I would start in Harrisonburg and then maybe expand to like Charlottesville. It's really a whole other way of doing business that exists on the web. So you just jump straight to that. And you need what's called a demo, which is a sampler of different voice styles that you might do in commercial or narration or audiobooks, for example. And then there are these websites that are casting matrixes, like eHarmony for casting, you know? So somebody needs a voice for whatever it is. There's even jobs posted for, you know, it's my grandma's 90th birthday and we want some booming narrator voice to kind of jokingly say, and now introducing grandma's 90th birthday. Somebody's paying for that. You go to that site, your demo's listed there. You can see who needs voice work and who does voice work. And I'll get an audition notice by email. And if I think I'm right for it, then I record a quick sample of what I would sound like saying their script. I send it to them. They might get 50 samples. They listen through. And if they like mine best, they hire me.
When did you decide my profession is going to be my voice?
When my kids were preschoolers.
Well, how did that influence it?
Well, it's hard on your brain that time period. I needed something to kind of keep myself occupied in a way that had nothing to do with, you know, story time at the library or which I enjoyed.
You needed an adult space.
Absolutely.
In your brain.
I knew I wanted to have a flexible work structure, a professional activity that I was doing to earn income, but I wanted it to fit with my new life as a parent. I didn't want to have to learn about a whole new realm of work. You know, I didn't want to learn about real estate, or even though I'm interested in that, I thought, oh, that's a whole new skill set. Let's focus here and let's think about what people have already paid me to do. And so I made a list of things. I'm a good writer. So, and people have paid me to do reports and research and writing. I've always been kind of a radio geek. And I had done a couple of voiceover jobs and was really surprised at the money that was out there compared to the amount of time that was invested. I was shocked. And so I thought, hey, why don't we go for the thing that's the most fun and most lucrative first?
You've been on the radio for years. What kind of honing of your voice talent did you have to do to be marketable in this great big market that you've made for yourself?
Well, there is a prejudice against radio people in voiceover.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
We can't have that.
There really is, because there's a perception among people who are hiring voice talent that all radio people come from the like morning drive, shout at me from a very insincere place style, you know, hey, you know, whatever it is. And that there's a disconnect between the self and the voice,
mm-hmm.
You know. And so I feel really lucky because public radio celebrates the authenticity of a sometimes imperfect voice.
Yes.
Because it values the authenticity over the showmanship of radio. But I still avoid, you know, pointing out my radio experience a lot when I'm contacting a client for the first time, because I don't want that perception that I just shout at people to get between me and an opportunity.
Did you have to learn how to use your voice at all, or was that there?
Learning to trust that the microphone can do a lot for you is still an ongoing thing.
Meaning?
I push too much. Still, take a bigger breath than the thought needs. The size of the breath should match the size of the thought, because that's how human beings really talk. There are certainly characters who don't take enough breath before they talk, and they kind of like are like this, you know. So it's not well supported. Yeah.
And sometimes that's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing a character voice. Okay, you got the chops. You know what you want to do. Here's you and the internet. How did you get known?
Again, it's not a work your way up thing. To me, it was, let's find out who's at the top and start there. And if that person won't take me on, I'll go to that person's recommendation, which is still going to be next to the top.
When you say you'll start at the top, you mean in terms of agents, in terms of agencies, in terms of what?
There are people who train voiceover talent in different styles. Pat Fraley is one that I've been fortunate to work with. He does all these animation voices. He's in LA. You've heard his voice. So I worked with him, but when I was just getting started and I was thinking, well, commercials and narration, you know, on the Progressive ads,
So
at the end of every Progressive ad, no matter what Flo does, right?
Yeah.
There's a woman who says something, something, something. Now that's Progressive.
Yes.
Call her, click today.
Yep.
Well, I know her. We went to college together at JMU.
No kidding.
Yeah. And I knew that she did voiceover in L.A. So I went to her website and found out how to get in touch with her.
It is who you know.
Well, yeah. Sometimes. Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Why not? Well, really, if you know somebody who's already where you want to be closer to, why wouldn't you contact them? The worst they can say is no. So I got in touch with her.
I'm with you.
And she said, oh, yeah, you know who you need to call? Nancy Wolfson. You know, she taught me everything I know. She's awesome. Drop my name and whatever. So I get in touch with this great woman named Nancy Wolfson, and she used to be a casting agent in voiceover, and now she simply works with people who are trying to get in to train them in the style of commercial voiceover as it is right now, and be savvy about the business side of it, but breaking down ad copy to see the hidden patterns and how to kind of point up certain things, the melody of the voice, everything. And so I contacted her and she took me on. And so I had telephone lessons, which makes all the sense in the world, because that way she's not distracted by what I'm doing physically, because that doesn't matter. You know, who listening to this would know that I'm standing on my head doing this interview right now?
Only I won't tell.
So we did phone lessons. And then after she got to know me, she wrote the script for the demo that you hear on my website to kind of, you know, these are Andy's strengths. This is Andy's voice. When she's funny, she sounds like this. When she's being informative, she sounds like this. And because she used to be an agent, she has some good connections in that way. And some of her students benefit from that. And I'm lucky to be one of them. So
you, instead of sitting around and thinking, oh, how do I crack this? You just pick up the phone.
It's amazing. I use the telephone and email. Nobody would ever think to write an email to someone, but I thought of it, and then I did it, and now I'm working.
Are you working? She's amused herself. Are you working as much as you'd like? Where are you in your voice career?
Every year it picks up a little bit more, mm-hmm. And just last week I got assigned a trilogy through this great company in Oregon called Bee Audio, like Buzzing Bee. And they produce a lot of content for Audible and other audiobook producers. And so this one's going to be for Audible. But I have now 68 hours of this trilogy to record by early February.
Is there an essential difference between reading a book and doing shorter bursts of audio work, you know, commercials.
Like sprint versus marathon.
Yes.
And there's also the, I do a lot of what's called e-learning. You know, you get hired by Danon and you're a new hire. You sit down with the Danon new hire e-learning module and you learn what your benefits are. You know, it's very, very informational. I do a lot of that. So I can turn on the microphone, turn that stuff out, you know, very used to that right now. With a book with different characters, different voices to create, it's more emotional, more expressive. So that's different. Yeah.
Do you have a rehearsal time where you're working out what voice you're going to use for what character, or just kind of get into it?
You read the book before you start to voice it so that you know things like...
what's coming next.
Yeah, like, oh, he gets mad enough to kill her later. That's probably important, you know, or something like that. When I would encounter a new character, I think about where in the body that voice would live. There's a daughter, a mother, and a grandmother. And to me, the mother is very often fighting everybody. She's seems very insecure and unhappy with her life. And I picture her voice almost like a solid, rectangular, sharp beam coming straight out of the middle of her head at people.
You do a little example?
Like, we know exactly where you've been, and you can't have any more of my allotment.
I'm backing up.
You know, but her daughter's voice, her daughter's very smart, and her daughter's very inquisitive. So it's almost like, but it can't come straight out of her because she's a child. And so I think of the daughter, the main character's voice, as coming out of the upper left corner of my forehead. Like a unicorn horn almost.
Very visual.
Yeah. So as she grows up, I'll be interested to see how that matures.
Can you do a snippet of daughter, this talking unicorn head?
I just wanted to learn things. I wasn't doing anything wrong.
It's wonderful. Is this satisfying?
No, I'm really sad and depressed and I hate my life. And no. You know what? There's this great saying. Who knows who said it? But there was this great saying I heard a long time ago. If you're lucky, work-wise, you should do the thing that while you're doing it, you lose track of time.
And that happens.
This thing. That is this thing. Yeah. And I get to be alone in a quiet house all day.
Which is a nice contrast to having two kids and a husband running around.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, I love when everybody comes home or making dinner and everybody's getting ready for stuff. It's great, but it's a nice balance, I think.
Well, you look like a happy camper. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks, Martha. I love your show.
Keep talking, happy talking. Talk about what you like to do. You got to have a dream. If you don't have don't talk happy and you never have a dream, then you never have a dream come true. Is good idea you like.
You'll find a link to voiceover specialist Andy Arndt's webpage through which you can hear her demo tape through the Spark page at WMRA.org. Back after a break to talk with locavore and hunting advocate Jackson Landers and hear an essay from Jeff L.